Welcome back to Chiefs Extended Pregame right here on 96.5 The Fan. And Drew Nixon, Jay Binkley, Quinn Morris producing the show. Big game coverage is brought to you by Bud Light, the official beer partner of your Kansas City Chiefs.
What? Did you get your beer yet?
I know. I was actually about to ask you the same thing.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know what I did. High V delivery,
You're locked and loaded. I also.
High V delivery. Delivers beer in the state of Missouri.
I got the alcoholic beverages ready to go as well myself. Quinn, are you indulging in
alcohol? I got some Coors sitting in the fridge at my brother's house.
Same thing, brother. A lot of Coors Light.
Yeah, and he's got an actual beer fridge, so that baby is colder than a normal fridge. So we're set. I'm going home and I'm getting ready to go over to my brother's house. I'm gonna try and take a nap. I don't think it'll work, but I'm gonna try. And then around 4 o'clock, I'm heading over to my brother's house. I'm excited because I get to see some like friends that I haven't seen in a while.
Oh, there you go.
So I'm pretty excited to go over to his house.
Stopping Saquon Barkley. Obviously, I think that's part of the key for everybody in this one who is a Chiefs fan. You know, how are we going to stop Saquon? Before we went into the break, from the 816, time of possession with Barkley is worrying me. You think the Chiefs shut him down or under 100 yards? I think I don't know if the yardage as much as necessarily the big thing, because if you have somebody, and we're going to run through some of these stats, Bing, in terms of what the Chiefs defense has done. But if you know, like if you were to say, because like last year Christian McCaffrey didn't kill him, I forget how many rushing attempts he had. I think he was somewhere in the 20s. He got the ball all the time.
Receiving, he did.
Okay, if Saquon gets 25,
like 80 yards.
If Saquon has 25 touches for 100 yards, I don't think that bothers you very much because it's 4 yards a carry or 4 yards a touch. It's not the one play that's killing you. Where if you have, if you allow the 65-yard touchdown, if you allow the 70-yard run, Bink, and he's piling it on early on, like even the game against the Commanders, he had the one big run, and then that was really kind of it. Like he was effective, but He kills you, absolutely kills you with those big runs. And that's what the Chiefs, I think, have to avoid in this one. And to the point that you made earlier with Golden, Bink, I'll let you run through some of these stats in a minute because you put them in there. The strength of the Eagles has been Saquon Barkley all year. He has been the reason, the biggest reason why they are in this game. The Kansas City Chiefs defense, the best thing that they do is stop the run. They have been elite this year, Bink, in stopping the run. They have not given up a 100-yard rusher all season. The only 100-yard rusher was Lamar Jackson, and we know what he can do. Maybe that worries you a little bit because Jalen Hurts, a mobile quarterback as well. But in terms of stopping the running backs themselves, they've done a great job against the guys like Saquon Barkley, who is going to be facing them today. Recently, though, and we'll get into that in a second, they have fallen off a little bit. But early on in the season, all the way up until the last few weeks, they have been on it.
Well, and the one thing, too, about Philadelphia is they were 13th in the NFL as far as amount of drives, 182. The Chiefs had 169. So the Chiefs are one of the fewest drives in the NFL. They were 30th in the NFL because they were such long drives.
Yeah.
And Philadelphia does that, too. They suffocate. And that's one way to stop the Chiefs is doing that. 3 minutes and 8 seconds is what the Chiefs in game time. That's number one in the NFL for time per drive. The Chiefs number one in that category. Philadelphia's number four. So Chiefs are one, they're four because they're 3 minutes and 1 second. So they're not far behind where the Chiefs are at 308. But that's average length of drive for Philadelphia and Kansas City. But stopping Saquon Barkley is the thing. And if you want to look at past history, okay, well, Philadelphia, they're 10th against the run. As far as their run defense is concerned, Chiefs run defense, as you said, much better earlier in the season. Last couple weeks, it's kind of faltered, but started off hot. You know, Derrick Henry, 13 carries, 46 yards. Of course, Lamar Jackson had 122 in that game. I will mention that. But Zach Moss, 12 carries, 34 yards when he was the bell cow for the Bengals in that game. Bijan Robinson, 16 carries, 31 yards. We know how explosive Bijan Robinson can get.
Yeah.
If he gets a little bit of space. Alvin Kamara, 11 carries, 26 yards. They only had 46 as a team that game when they played them. Bucky Irving, 7 carries, 24 yards when they played the Buccaneers. James Cook, 9 for 20 when they played the Buffalo Bills during the regular season. Najee Harris did have 13 for 74 and Joe Mixon 18 for 88 in the playoffs. But they weren't 100 yards, and Spags has not given up that 100-yard game. To me, it's about stopping A.J. Brown. And it's about stopping Saquon Barkley and Jalen Hurts, of course. Devontae Smith, I mean, somebody's got to get the yards, whether it's Dallas Goedert. Devontae Smith had over 100 yards receiving the first time in Super Bowl 57 that they played. So he did go off in that game, but something has got to give in this game. But yes, you force Barkley, but then you're going to see a lot of Jalen Hurts. If you shut down Saquon Barkley, you're going to see a lot of Jalen.
Can I ask you guys a question?
Yeah.
Do you think we're focusing on Saquon Barkley as the guy to stop because Saquon Barkley is just that good? Or are we focusing on Saquon Barkley because Jalen Hurts is just not as good as an NFL quarterback that has been in the Super Bowl?
Yeah, I think Jalen Hurts is an incredible talent. I mean, you think back at Alabama.
A little underrated.
When he was there, he was 26-2 as a starter, but he was pulled at halftime of a national title game when Tua came in. But he was 26-2. Then, of course, he goes on to Oklahoma and does great things, but he's a winner. And that's the one thing about Jalen. This is his second Super Bowl in 3 years. You know, we think about the great quarterbacks like Lamar Jackson and Joe Burrow and Josh Allen, all these guys. Mm-hmm. This Jalen Hurts' second time, man. I mean, he's going to start getting the credit I think he deserves as a quarterback. If he wins one, I mean, think about the quarterbacks that don't have that win, and Jalen Hurts would have that win. But Jalen Hurts has been a winner his whole life. The dude just wins games. And that's the scary thing about Jalen Hurts. And when they played the Eagles in Super Bowl 57, Jalen Hurts had a great game. Matter of fact, if they win that game, he's the MVP.
Yeah, I think that he doesn't like wow you with the numbers necessarily, but he doesn't make really bad. He doesn't make very bad mistakes very often.
Remind you of Mahomes?
Well, of course, Mahomes obviously is the better quarterback in the matchup, but it doesn't feel like he
wins.
Yeah, it doesn't feel like he might have a bad game, but they find a way to win. I think some of that again is due to Saquon Barkley and how good he is because he's been so effective for them. Defensively, they've obviously been very good as well, and I think maybe we'll get into this conversation a little bit more, even Bink, regarding Nick Sirianni too, and the. Are they just underrated in general because people don't like Nick Sirianni, maybe because of his attitude or whatever?
Hopping up on the bench and yelling at fans.
Or Jalen Hurts just because he doesn't wow you as much with his numbers, but he's a really good quarterback. I think he's a little bit underrated as well. The thing about the Saquon thing is interesting, though. Does it make you any more nervous knowing that looking at what James Cook did last week with 85 yards on 13 attempts and Joe Mixon did as well? I know that it's not 100 yards, but I think we can all agree that Saquon Barkley is better than Najee Harris, Joe Mixon, and James Cook.
He's a home run hitter, and that's what scares you because you think you have him stopped, and he's going to use the stiff arm. He's going to get outside and use that speed.
Or he's going to hurdle over you or whatever.
Yeah, or backwards.
Spin around you, you know?
He has that home run threat ability, and I think that's the really scary thing about Saquon Barkley and why this is different. This guy has kind of helped transcend the running back position, being back to prominent.
Him and Christian McCaffrey.
To be honestly, I think he was the MVP of the NFL. You know, I know there's a lot of fighting between Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen. I think Saquon Barkley ended up being the – I would have voted for him for MVP, to be honest with you, over 2,000 yards. But all that infighting the Eagles had earlier this year, remember the whole A.J. Brown and Jalen Hurts, do they like each other? And people say, well, there's a problem in the locker room and all this, which they did have a problem last year. It's why they fell. It's why they were so good, 10-1, and just collapsed. Mm-hmm. But they kept it together, and Saquon Barkley just kept doing it, never made waves in anything. And, of course, Derrick Henry going to Baltimore, people starting to see the value of the running back, which I think we're going to see more running backs drafted this year because people are, I think, going to go back to the run. I think Saquon Barkley kind of turned a lot of heads as far as the value of the running back.
Especially from the receiving side as well. One thing I want to get to before we go to the break, Tyrann Mathieu joined Cody and Gold this weekend and was asked, particularly about Saquon, and he mentioned the importance of not just playing, one or two quarters well, but playing an entire full quarter game. You got to be on it for all four quarters. Here's what Tyrann Mathieu had to say on Cody and Gold this week.
Kind of had him in check pretty much the whole game, and then it got to the fourth quarter, and he was the only one with juice, right? And so they started to feed him, and I think he popped off like a 70-yarder, 65-yarder. That was really the dagger, against us, right? But, I think you just have to do a great job, man, of playing three-level defense because Saquon is so exclusive. And by the time he gets to the second level, nobody's touched him, he still has that burst. He still has that long speed. And he can make three or four guys miss, in a box. So if they can just keep him under wraps, man, I think they'll have a great chance to win because Saquon is actually my X factor in the game.
I feel like, you know,
it's hard to pick him.
like you were saying, Bink, it's not the fact of them total. Like if he totals 100 yards, it's fine. If he has 20 touches or whatever, it's the one play that he gashes you that can absolutely be a killer. And I know Tyron talked about this too. There was like some counter plays that the Eagles run in particular where they get the guard and the tight end moving and they run a counter plays. Very difficult to stop if you're not hitting your gaps correctly. So, I mean, and as Tyron said, all three levels have got to be, you got to be on it when facing Saquon because the offensive line does a nice job.
Very good offensive line that moves around, especially getting it. Cam Jurgens is back, of course.
Yeah, him being healthy is a big deal because Dickerson can play his natural spot.
Go back to guard because Landon Dickerson actually got hurt.
Yeah, no, yeah.
When he had the big, and Cam Jurgens had to go back into the game at center for the Eagles. But yeah, that scares me. Like you're limiting to 3.6 yards a carry, you know, 3.9. Then all of a sudden, boom, he hits it for 70 yards.
Yep.
And he goes down the field. That's the part that's, I think, the scariest. But then again, that'd be a big play, and it'd put Mahomes back on the field and not that long, methodical drive. I think what bothers me most is that third and one, that fourth and one, that tush push. The Chiefs showed that ability. They can make that stop like they did against Josh Allen, who's very difficult. But Josh Allen's very predictable. He always runs to the left side when he does that. Is there any kind of keys the Chiefs picked up? And the tush push does favor the offense because they're the ones snapping the ball. They know when the ball is going to be snapped going forward, getting the inertia going forward. But it drives me nuts. It's part of the game, and it's what the Chiefs are going to have to stop. They will have to stop that tush push at some point. It's going to happen. Can they stop it? Or be the officials being so worried about, oh, we got to make the right call in this situation. We can't give it to the Chiefs again because everybody will lose their freaking minds if the Chiefs get a call going their direction. I'm very curious how this game's officiated. I am.
Yeah.
I'm very curious because the NFL knows what's going on. They know the whole narrative around the Super Bowl. We even heard it at the NFL Honors when they brought it up. But they're definitely going to be talking about it. I will say this. The Chiefs, as a matter of fact, did you know the Eagles, as far as penalties are concerned, did you see this one? Where the Eagles are sitting as far as penalties the last eight games?
No,
did you
happen
to catch this one?
I have not.
Here you go. Eagles have had fewer penalty yards than their opponent in eight straight games, playoffs included. One shy of the Vikings for the longest active streak in the NFL. That from Josh Dubow from the AP. So there you go. For all the conspiracy, the Chiefs get all the calls. The Eagles, fewer penalty yards.
I don't
eight
want
straight opponents.
Can you promise me that you're not going to send out a tweet if the Eagles have less penalty yards that the thing's rigged for the Eagles? Please.
Oh yeah. Hey, you know what?
I don't want any ref talk.
I don't want
to
hear.
Please.
Remember last year in Vegas when you were there, the Chiefs were at the Raiders facility.
Yeah.
And the 49ers are complaining because they were at the UNLV facility, which is brand new. The Chiefs have been at Tulane. And the Eagles have been working
there's
out
no excuses
where the Saints
right.
are. And, you know, Tulane's kind of good luck because it is, well, it's a different stadium now, but it is the first location of the Chiefs' Super Bowl win against the Vikings, the very first Super Bowl in New Orleans at Tulane Stadium.
Shout out to the
Kansas
Green
City
Wave.
Chiefs winning.
Shout out to the Green Wave. Coming up next, Bob Fesco from Fesco and Dusty is going to join the show. We're going to get his pick as well as talk to him a little bit just in general about some of the storylines in this game. Don't go anywhere. It's Chiefs Extended Pregame on 96.5 The Fan. Chiefs Extended Pregame on 96.5 The Fan. Drew Nixon, Jay Binkley, and Quentin Morris. We got Bob Fesco from Fesco and Dusty joining the show now. Well, I'm just going to get right to it. You've been in New Orleans all week long. What has been the best part, Bob, of being in New Orleans this week?
Everything, man. Everything, Drew. It's such a great city for the Super Bowl. There's none better, in my opinion. Everybody's together. Everybody's hanging out. You're seeing all the celebrities and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, everybody's kind of forced to mingle together. Chiefs fans, Eagle fans, a lot of Lion fans down here, too, to be honest with you. I thought probably a lot of them thought they were coming in. But it's just everything. I mean, it's just been a perfect week. You couldn't have asked for anything better.
Bob, what's been the number one thing you've been tired of talking about when people ask you things? Because obviously the refs thing and all the live hits you do and you hear from that. What about you? What are you tired of?
Hey, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm glad you asked that question because
thank you.
The number one thing that I'm tired of, I am tired of hearing every single person say that the Eagles have a better roster than the Chiefs.
Oh, yeah.
Like that has become this false narrative or whatever, and every single person that you run into is talking about that narrative.
I don't know. I might ask you to explain this a little bit, but it sounds like you almost got in a fight, according to Dusty, Bob. But is this one of the things where everybody's talking about Jalen Carter? I think that's the thing that's bothering the most. It's bothering me at least the most, where everybody's talking about Jalen Carter as if he's Chris Jones, forgetting that Chris Jones is actually in this game and is the better defensive tackle right now. It's like they're not recognizing, I think the defensive players in particular, for the Chiefs, they're focused too much on the Eagles' defensive line when looking at the Chiefs, they've got a better defense that has been able to stop the run better than anybody else this year. They've got Trent McDuffie. It seems like the Eagles, yes, they've got some good young talent, but people are forgetting that Chris Jones is still on the roster for the Chiefs and is still playing as good a football as any other defensive tackle.
Well, and I think to take it one step further, too, Drew, they forget that Trey Smith's a pretty good offensive lineman. You know, that dude's going to get paid in about 3 weeks. You know, like, people forget how good he is and how good Creed Humphrey is. And, look, Caliendo's been playing his ass off, too, you know, on that interior offensive line. So I think it's a little bit of disrespect to those guys when you hear constantly about that. But, yeah, I mean, the Chiefs' defensive line goes eight deep. I mean, the last time I checked, to have a rotation of eight legitimate players on your defensive line, it's a major advantage for this team. I mean, Turk Wharton's probably going to have a big day today. Mike Bana's going to have a big day today.
Pinnell.
And they're going to do it with their actions. Like, I know all week it's been bothering them that they've been kind of talked about that they're not as good as everybody else and all that kind of stuff. And when they get that mindset, you know what happens. They go out there and they ball out. It really reminds me of the game against the Tennessee Titans years ago in the AFC Championship game when they told us, you know, oh, Derrick Henry's going to run all over the place, and they held him, 70 yards or whatever it was. And so that's why I look at this like everybody thinks Saquon Barkley's going to have this day, but, man, this Chiefs team has been using that disrespect card for the last 2 weeks. I think they're going to stop Saquon.
Bob, I would be remiss not to wish you a happy pizza day today.
Pizza day is today?
Yeah, it is, Bob. And it's also pork rind day, but it's National Pizza Day as well, Bob.
Well, it's perfect for the Super Bowl. I'm having eggs with crawfish etouffee over the top right now and a side of grits for breakfast. So I've immersed myself into the Southern cuisine. One thing that's going to be interesting to watch today, and I just got some information, and I'll break it for you guys on the show. The Eagles have been sick all week, right?
Yeah.
The flu has been going around.
Mm-hmm.
The Chiefs have not, because they knew – and they were studying the trends that this stuff may be hitting New Orleans. And so they prepared, and everybody is healthy with the Chiefs, whereas the Eagles, that illness is going through. That's going to be something to see how that ends up playing a part in this game today.
Just get ready for all the excuses, Bob, where, oh, you know what, the last time it was the field for the Eagles, this time everybody was sick. That's why they lost. It's going to be terrible.
It shows you guys how much it takes everybody in an organization. I can't help that the Chiefs may have better doctors than the Eagles who, you know, kind of checked for this stuff and prepared for this stuff. Or I can't help that the equipment guys for the Chiefs may be better than everybody in this organization is of Super Bowl caliber, and they're doing things behind the scenes that nobody knows about to help this team go out there and win games on Sunday. So you got to give a shout out to everybody in that entire organization too, because they are buttoned up as anybody. And I'm going to be really interested to see how this flu thing plays out. It may not be a factor, but everybody I've been told by a very reliable source in that Eagles organization has been under the weather because of that flu.
So real quick, before we get to your pick, Dusty came on Cody and Gold earlier this week and said that not that you needed to be held back, but you almost started throwing hands at some sort of fan while you guys were getting your media credentials. What's the story behind this?
Well, I mean, some guy, you know, standing in line, one of these media dopes that's like a wretch of society, is standing there trying to get his media pass. And we got our Chiefs gear on. We're talk show hosts. We're not media, right?
Yeah.
I'm tired of hearing about that. I'm not media. I'm a talk show host. I'm a fan on the air, and I'm blessed to have this opportunity to be here and whatnot. And so we're wearing our Chiefs gear on Friday, picking up our credentials. The guy tries to cut lines and says, you know, I said, where are you going? He goes, I'm going to get my media pass. I said, yeah, so are we. He goes, well, I wouldn't know. You're all chiefed out. I go, do you have a problem with this? Do you have a problem with the way we're dressed? And then he kind of went back. But I was pissed for a while. Like, I haven't been that mad in a long time. Like, I'm sorry you write an article that nobody's going to read, pal.
Oh, my goodness. That's such a good story. Okay, Bob, what is your prediction? I assume I know the score and also the winner of this one. Who you got?
35-0 Chiefs.
Love it. Bob Fesco, thank you very much for joining the show.
Enjoy New Orleans, Bob.
Yep. Bye-bye.
35-0. There it is. Shout out to Fesco for joining the show. I think he brings up a really interesting point, Bink, in regards to the flu stuff. And I know that it was really Jalen Carter originally that he was dealing with some sort of an issue and a bug. But I don't. Do you remember when this came out? It was like it was Wednesday, wasn't it, or Thursday? I think is when this stuff came out. The breakout of the flu or sick, or what, the illness, whatever the heck is going on.
Well, the
down
good
there.
Thing is the Chiefs get their keep this in mind. When Andy Reid came to Kansas City, there was 26 members of the Eagles front office and or coaching staff that came over to Kansas City as well, including their trainer, Rick Burkholder, that came to Kansas City from Philadelphia. But yeah, 26 members of the Eagles organization. And Mark Donovan, the president, he came from the Eagles organization. Brett Veach from the Eagles organization. It's been loaded with it, but that's not been a storyline for some reason.
If Jalen Carter has like a mediocre to bad day, how quickly will, it was the flu.
I know.
Like, will it be like the red flu or something start coming out?
I really hope that this game is really good and everybody plays well. From the neutral side that I'm having for this, I want a good game. I want the refs to not be any part of this in terms of decision-making or conversation. I don't want the flu to be any part of this. I want a really good game that comes.
Oh, I do. I want Jalen Hurts to puke on the football.
You've seen the video of the center that vomited on the football.
Yes.
So.
I know that the last time these two teams played in the Super Bowl, the whole Garner Johnson pass interference call, the holding call or whatever it was, he admitted to holding the guy. I don't want it to come down to that. Like, let it be a play made by somebody catching if the Chiefs are going to win, let it be Xavier Worthy high pointing a football and catching it to get him inside a field goal range or something like that. There's no penalty.
And then thanking Buffalo as soon as he crosses the goal line.
Man, that would be a gut punch to Buffalo again, I want to thank the Buffalo Bills for passing on me in the draft and trading out.
If Xavier Worthy says, like, in the post game or, like, on the field, you know, when they go and interview every player on the field, if in his play, like, or in after that, right, he makes a big play, and after the game, the first words out of his mouth are, I want to thank the Buffalo Bills.
Love it.
That would be, he would become a Chiefs legend.
I'm really excited for the game tonight. I'm hoping that there's no bull crap storylines. I don't need it.
Nobody in Kansas City wants there to be, like, a ref play that, you know, quote-unquote, helps the Chiefs, even though the penalty would be a penalty.
Or even the Eagles. Again, I'm from the neutral side of things. I don't want anything that's controversial to make up what determines the game.
The problem
I don't want it.
The problem is that even if there's a penalty that is an actual penalty, that penalty will become controversial.
Of course.
It will be.
That's a good point.
I can't wait for this game either, but I know what tomorrow's storylines are. It's either A, look at Mahomes and his legacy.
Three-peat.
And the four rings and the three-peat. Exactly. It's going to be talked about. And if the Eagles win, it's going to be, is Jalen Hurts now better than Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen and blah, blah. I mean, that's what it's going to be. Do we need to start giving Sirianni and Jalen Hurts more credit? Did Saquon Barkley make the biggest difference for this team? But you already know. I can already plan shows tomorrow which direction this thing's going
to
go.
All right, so we talked to Fesco. We've got the other half of Fesco and Dusty. Dusty Likens, a.k.a. Big Dust. According to Diana Rossini, Big Dust.
Yeah, Big Dust.
Is going to join the show. We're going to chop it up with Dusty Likens of Fesco and Dusty next. It's Chiefs Extended Pregame right here on 96.5 The Fan. I love it. I think Dusty loves it too. Bruce Springsteen bringing us back in. Chiefs Extended Pregame. Super Bowl extended pregame right here on 96.5 The Fan. Drew Nixon, Jay Binkley, Quentin Morris, Dusty Likens from Fesco and Dusty joining the show. Dusty, first thing I'll ask you, how was T-Pain last night?
Well, we didn't get in.
Oh, what? Really?
Yeah, they oversold the event, and it turned into like over like 250 people got denied access. Horrible idea, horrible event. Ended up going and getting hand grenades and faded into the evening.
That's right, man. Hand grenades, the original Miller Beer. What else you doing down there? Hurricanes, dust man, some shrimp po' boys, some beignets.
I'm just trying to make you proud, Binkley.
Oh, dude,
I'm doing everything
are.
I could that you would tell me to do, and I'm trying to do and more.
Yeah, you guys saw Joey Chestnut the other night. You know, shaking beers with him.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, he can't chug like he can eat, though. I can tell you that much.
Yeah, Paige Brannick down there, Maggie Sajak, Kay Adams. Please tell me, Dust, man. You went out with one of them. Huh?
No, man. Struck out on both.
Damn, dude.
It's a tough world, man, when there's a lot of beautiful people down here. Like, we ran into, like, every single Australian GQ model last night was in the same bar we were at. Had no shot at anybody.
Did you at least take a shot or no? You just like, no.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Okay.
No,
it's
for sure.
It's dirty werewolf for the Big Easy, man.
That's right, man. You gotta at least, like, you know, play a joke, and then, you know, then the guy from behind you looks like George Clooney and talks like Keith Urban. You have no chance.
Dusty Likens from Festico and Dusty joining right now. All right, Dusty, one thing that we've talked to, you know, Alex about is, of course, some bets, but also, you know, X factors in this game. Bob talked about the flu slash illness sort of thing. Is there a storyline that you feel like in this one people haven't been looking at enough? Like there is it Chris Jones and his impact, because all the talk's been about Jalen Carter this week? Is it Trent McDuffie and the matchup against these Eagles wide receivers? Is there any storyline of this game that you feel like hasn't gotten enough buzz?
Yeah, I mean, I think the storyline for me that's kind of impressive, that's, I guess you'd call like a subplot, would be the fact that all these people that were drafted in 2022 who played this Eagles team the first time around as rookies, if they win this game, they've three-peated and they've never lost in the playoffs. And I think that's just like super impressive, because they're so young. They were all drafted together. Obviously, that's your Carlottis, McDuffie, Chenault sort of thing. Not one has lost in the playoffs, and they were drafted 2 years ago. This would be a three-peat for them and still be undefeated in the best part of the season.
All right, Dust, man, I want to know some personal stuff from you, man. You grew up in this town. Blue Springs High School. You live in Lee Summit. You've been through the ups and downs like myself, and the 21 years they didn't win a playoff game. I knew you at the station before the Chiefs started on this run and winning. What's it feel like to you personally being down there, seeing the Chiefs going back, and the fact that they actually made the Super Bowl and you're down there, even though you're probably going anyway, but the fact that the Chiefs happen to be there with you as well. You have all those Chiefs fans roaming the street. Neil from Lone Jack called in. He's down there. He just got in his car and drove down to Bourbon Street. But what about you personally, man? Where's this rank for you?
Yeah, it's pretty sweet. It's, I didn't really think about it too much when it came into play about, I don't know, yesterday. We were at an Odyssey party hanging out with some people that were from other Odyssey stations, and you know, I had a little moment where I'm sitting like in this courtyard, and you know, you start seeing people walk the streets and they're wearing like Chiefs gear. Somebody's wearing Philadelphia gear. Somebody's wearing, you know, Saints gear, whatever it is. And it's one of those moments where you're like, man, I'm at the freaking Super Bowl and the Chiefs are going for a three-peat. So I think yesterday about 4 p.m., it probably hit that it was finally there and that I was actually going to be here to see it, because like you said, I grew up in Kansas City my whole life, and you know, they weren't always the greatest team. And when they were great, they got heartbroken in the playoffs. And then the Royals won a World Series in 15. That kind of helped out. And then the Chiefs kind of just took over ever since. So it's a full circle kind of moment.
What are you doing today to pass the time until you get out there to the Superdome?
Sleeping.
I knew it, man. You got to.
Yeah, man. Look, we've been here since last Sunday. I think New Orleans is a great time. But New Orleans is a lot like Dusty Likens. You only need them for about 4 hours, and then you can get rid of them for the next 24. So, you know, being here for 6 days straight and, you know, just kind of relaxing. You know, last night was fun. The night before that was fun. And, you know, we got a big game to get geared up for. We got to get to the stadium about 1:30, and hopefully everything goes well for the boys in red.
Yeah, it's one of those things, Dusty, where you know you're by the end of the week you are exhausted, but it's a good exhausted. And we've loved all the coverage you guys have been doing on social, of course, hosting the show out there. Final thing for you: what is your prediction for the game today?
Man, all right, Binkley, you ready for me to be a homer?
Hey, do what you want to do. I don't even know if it's being a homer; it's being for the best team.
So, like, why can't Patty get pissed? Like, why can't he, like, go into one of those moments, you know, like, where he just says, F it, and lights the world on fire? And you talk about storylines don't get talked about. Are we talking about Patrick Mahomes enough? Are they talking about him enough of, like, what this man is going to do at 29 years old with the win? I don't know where he's going to be at the end of this game, whether it's on cloud nine or talking to Chris Jones about winning a four-peat. But why can't he scorch the earth? Give me 34-20 final score, Chiefs.
I love it, Dust, man. Think about this. Mahomes has been in 71% of all Super Bowls since he's been a starter. That is an insane number. And I love the fact that nobody mentions it. He didn't even make the Pro Bowl this year. Like, he wouldn't have played it anyway, but wasn't even voted for the Pro Bowl. Come on, man.
Yeah, well, his Pro Bowl is the Super Bowl.
So yes. They don't win awards. They just win Super Bowls.
Thank you, Dusty.
And MVP. You bet, guys. Take care.
All right, Dust, man. And Dustman, you know, that's like Vegas, man. And I'm sure you fed that we were like that last year. Once you've been in Vegas for like 48 hours, it's kind of like, yes.
It was weird because, unfortunately, you know, I wasn't able to. It's hard because you don't get the full experience. You know, like you're there, you're working, like you're not able to really stay out as much.
They stayed 20 miles away from Vegas, Chiefs.
We were out there further. The show was a little bit earlier than normal, staying up. Like, it wasn't a. You got some of Vegas, but it wasn't a full like Vegas experience where Alex and Cody were able to experience it a little bit more over the weekend. But yeah, I think everybody's happy that Dusty and Bob and Mac were able to get out there. Shout out to Mac as well. We're still waiting to see if Mac can join.
Shout out to Mac, but he won't shout us back up because he's probably still sleeping.
Well, he texted me he said, "How late are you guys on?" I was like, "We're on till 1," and he hasn't texted me back since. I gave him available time. So we'll see if Mac, producer of Fesco and Dusty, will join the show to give his predictions. But yeah, so far, all Chiefs, no surprise there. Up next, two straight years. Bink made a reference to it a little bit. Dusty did as well. The value of Patrick Mahomes is blank. Didn't make the Pro Bowl. The award is just another Super Bowl. That's what Patrick Mahomes does. His Pro Bowls are Super Bowls. We'll talk about that a little bit more next as Chiefs Extended Pregame continues right here on 96.5 The Fan. Chiefs Extended Pregame, Super Bowl Extended Pregame, right here on 96.5 The Fan, continuing for the next couple hours or so. Drew Nixon, Jay Binkley, Quentin Morris. Bink is shaking off all the haters who do not like Patrick Mahomes and everything like that ahead of what is another Super Bowl for the 29-year-old. Two straight years, no awards, Bink, at the NFL Honors.
Yeah.
And, the Pro Bowl stuff, like Trent McDuffie was a Pro Bowler, but he wasn't an All-Pro. All of that stuff as well going into it. Patrick Mahomes not an All-Pro this year or a Pro Bowler this year. In the end, I think the conversation, I get why everybody feels this way in Kansas City, is that, look, their Pro Bowl is the Super Bowl because they're typically not in the Pro Bowl. They're not eligible to play in the Pro Bowl because they're too worried about playing for this game that they have today. It doesn't obviously take away from what Patrick Mahomes has done, but it shows you that he's a guy that no matter, and people were saying he had a down season this year. If you look statistically, he's not had a career best season. But when it comes down to it, in certain moments, Bank, every single time it seems like Patrick Mahomes has been asked to deliver, he's delivered. And that's just who he is. He's big time.
Yeah, the awards really have become, you don't care about him anymore. You used to care about him. Kansas City used to care about awards, right?
Mm-hmm.
If Eric Hosmer hit a home run in the All-Star game, that was a big deal, right? That was our guy doing something in the All-Star game. I remember when the Royals were on the run in 14 and 15 and, you know, we'd get the text line to be saying, "Hey, the Royals got 20 seconds at the end of, you know, at the end of MLB Network for their highlights." Right? Everybody like
they
cared
finally
about
got
that.
Some national recognition. Yeah, but
nobody cares about that anymore. And I always said this: we sat and did the show live in 2015 and 14 when they were in the World Series, and I said, "See, ESPN's here, MLB Network. Mm. You forced them to be here, and now they have to talk about you because you were there."
Yeah,
and the Chiefs are there, and these awards, it's kind of serves as motivation for the Chiefs, like Patrick Mahomes when he's not, you know, number one player in the NFL, mm-hmm. which they do that voting in November, which is stupid because the Chiefs weren't good last year in November. Remember, they were only 9-6 on Christmas last year,
and they lost on Christmas Day. Yeah,
Andy Reid is a win coach of the year. It just when you sit there and watch it, even like last year, Spags didn't even get assistant of the year, which is a complete joke.
He had two votes for this year.
Votes. Yeah, which is completely ridiculous. But the fact that the Super Bowl champion didn't have anybody up for any awards, they weren't even up for any last year, and they go and win the Super Bowl. This year, of course, if you watch the NFL honors, no Chiefs won anything. Only Andy Reid was up for Coach of the Year was the only somebody from the Chiefs organization in the NFL honors. And you got to thinking, that stuff doesn't matter anymore. It's just the Super Bowls. And like, how can you really tell the story of the NFL when you're not having the team that's winning the Super Bowls? That just shows you kind of how special they are mm-hmm. in the culture of the team. As far as they're not, as Johnny Gomes said in the Royals victory parade in 15, MVP of the league, not on our team. Cy Young Award winner, not on our team. Mm. It's kind of what the Chiefs have become. You know, offensive player of the year, not on our team. Defensive player of the year, not on our team. MVP, not on our team. They just go out and win Super Bowls. The only thing that really matters. So I think we've kind of moved past that awards thing. It's even a joke to even consider what they mean at this point, because it doesn't matter. Unsung guys. Like George Karloftis, hardly getting talked about at all as far as this
game.
He's
been outstanding in the playoffs.
And the Eagles only had a few more sacks this year than the Kansas City Chiefs did. But, yeah, George Karloftis has been absolutely outstanding for the Kansas City Chiefs this year. And you see his value with this football team. But that's kind of who and what this team is. It's the Drew Tranquils of the world that came over here that I thought was the best free agent signing when the Chiefs got him a couple years ago when came into Kansas City. But they're just a team. They're just a team. They're the constant team. When the only thing that matters is Super Bowls, which I'm sure that, you know, guys that win the MVP, Lamar, I'm sure he'd trade him in for winning a Super Bowl, or Josh Allen would trade him in for winning a Super Bowl. But that's the thing that matters. But all of these cities, look at Buffalo. They were in this little war with Baltimore. Who's better, Josh Allen or Lamar Jackson? I know we're kind of separated from them, but they were really battling back and forth. Buffalo and Baltimore were going at it.
Mm-hmm.
And who was going to be the MVP? That's all they were talking about. Even their former players, they were talking about that. But that was winning for them. The MVP award, that was the special thing for them. Who cares? It's about Super Bowls here. It just shows you kind of where the Kansas City is and where some of these other places where you feel slighted because you didn't win MVP or whatever, when that's the only thing you can hang your hat on. Here, they hang their hats on Super Bowl wins.
If you go to ESPN.com right now, one of the first story that pops up is, to your point, Bink, the Eagles have a better roster. Do they have the better team? From Bill Barnwell. I think that's the ultimate thing, where we might not have the Pro Bowlers, we might not have the best stats, but when it comes down to it, and the season starts, in the postseason, we have the best quarterback, we have the best head coach, we have the best defensive coordinator, we have the best GM who put all the pieces together, where even though they're not recognizable names to most, they are significantly important players for the team. I think that you know, goes hand in hand, where you, like, team, we always talk about, well, Lamar Jackson hasn't won a playoff game. Outstanding quarterback. He's a Hall of Famer. Josh Allen hasn't even been to a Super Bowl. Outstanding quarterback. Just won MVP. You know, you can just go down the line of other teams that have, really, like the Niners, consistently for the last 4 or 5 years, everybody said, well, they got the best roster. They haven't won a Super Bowl. Because when it comes down to it, and all the pieces have to be put together in the puzzle, it's always the Chiefs that have the edge in terms of focus, in terms of preparation, in terms of everything. And that goes back to Andy Reid, I think, in the end, where Andy is so laser focused. I know a lot of the players, like common, I guess, player verbiage, you know, saying, well, the game, you know, it's just another game and all that other stuff. But I think in particular with these guys, I guess, but it really is just another game, because, and I think Kareem Hunt talked about this, you prepare so that you don't have to be worried. Like, it is literally just another game, because you're so well prepared for the moment, for the game. You're used to playing in these games. Like Xavier Worthy, he's a rookie, but guess what? Halftime's a little bit longer in the Super Bowl. Halftime's long in college football. You know, it's not a half hour necessarily like it is in the NFL for the rookie Super Bowl.
Does it exist?
But there isn't. Like, Xavier Worthy is used to big time games. Xavier Worthy is used to these longer half times where everything's a little bit different for the Super Bowl. It's not like they're used to this week. Like, Xavier Worthy just playing a college football playoff where he had to wait a month to play in their quote unquote bowl game. They've been waiting 2 weeks to play in the Super Bowl. Like, it's there's a lot of similarities in regards to the big time players that have played in big time games in college to this moment, where if you're prepared, Andy Reid, make sure you're prepared to focus in a moment like this, and
I think
make sure that you achieve in the moments like this and not just fall short and get too worried or too anxious.
I think it's the storyline of this team. Like Xavier Worthy, people are like, oh, he's a one-trick pony. He ran a 4.21 at the 40 in the combine. He's just a speed guy.
He's been freaking good.
Well, here's the one thing about it that people didn't realize. Yes, he's a bit undersized, but you know what? He led the University of Texas in receptions and yards for 3 straight years. For 3 straight years, so he's more than a 9-route vertical route guy down the field. He is, and Chiefs realize that.
He's more than John Ross.
He is. He's a lot more for his success when he was at Texas. But I always waited for that cutthroat moment, that guy that you've got. I remember a couple years ago when they beat the Chargers, they said, well, we wanted to keep the ball because we didn't want Mahomes to come back out. Like that's the way I felt with Elway. Like, you don't want to give too much time. Like, Kansas City, you look at the Elway, you just don't give him too much time. Kansas City has that guy now. You know, Brett Favre was that guy in Green Bay, and Aaron Rodgers has been that guy. You don't give that guy too much time, and Kansas City has that guy. And they've got this culture where they're a team, and Peyton Hendershot had talked about, you know, that as well, as far as the team concept. It reminds me of Top Gun 2. Do you remember, did you watch Top Gun 2, the Maverick?
The one that just came out?
Yes. The sequel. The Top Gun, yeah, with Maverick. I remember when they were on the beach playing football both ways. They were just having fun playing football on the beach, and the admiral came down. John Hammond said, what are you doing? You're supposed to be in the air training. And he goes, well, you told me to build a team. You told me to build a team. It reminds me of the Chiefs because they're just out there, you know, being a team. Peyton Hendershot, kind of a, you know, guy that's been on the practice squad and getting a little more time with the Chiefs here and there, especially on special teams. He's a tight end for the Kansas City Chiefs, Peyton Hendershot. And rarely did these guys get a lot of talking. It's Monumen Mahomes and Andy Reid and stuff like that. But I thought Peyton Hendershot was really interesting when he compared the Cowboys and the Chiefs because he played for the Cowboys and then came to the Chiefs about that winning atmosphere, that winning edge. When you come here, it's about winning. It's nothing else. It's not all the frivolous little details or whatever that goes on being a Dallas Cowboy. It's about winning the football game, and it's something he noticed right away that it's about championships for this team. DeAndre Hopkins, all of it said, and when they got here, they understood what the role was.
Yeah, and I think, you know, to your point, what separates teams is that it's the entire thing. It's not one person. It's not one player. It's not one little thing. It's all of the things compiled together. That's where Brett Veach, like them, whether they three-peat or not, Brett Veach is a significantly important piece to this dynasty that nobody's really going to talk about because he's obviously not playing on the field or coaching. But in terms of the Chiefs team that you like right now and the Chiefs team that you will like for years to come is all because of Brett Veach, essentially. Like, we know Dorsey, of course, with Mahomes and all that stuff. But Rashee Rice, Xavier Worthy, Trent McDuffie, these guys that are maybe not the best players necessarily, the most recognizable names like a Kelce, a Mahomes, or Chris Jones, but the ones that make the clock continue to tick properly, the ones that are the key players that make plays in these Super Bowls, the ones that are the ones that help the engine run a little bit. They're not the engine itself, but they're the little piece to the puzzle that ends up making everything come together. That's Brett Veach, making it happen, and Andy Reid.
And when Mahomes, he took more salary cap from any winning quarterback in the Super Bowl last year. Yeah. He took the most out of the cap. So you got to be good at the draft.
Yeah, that's right.
If you're going to win with a quarterback like Mahomes. And that's the one thing about it. They're talking about, you know, the salary cap. Can you cap it with quarterbacks or whatever? I'm like, no.
Yeah.
Because the Chiefs have found out how to pay the quarterback and still win. And other teams are trying to figure out, because we've seen all these quarterbacks get these big-time contracts, but are they winning Super Bowls? The answer is no. The 2022 draft class will be prevalent today. Trent McDuffie, George Karloftis, Brian Cook, Leo Chanel, Josh Williams, Jalen Watson, Isaiah Pacheco, Nazi Johnson will be used as well. But the 2022 draft class is what built this team. And you have to make trades. It's like when they brought Chevarius Ward in here with Brett Veach, going and getting Harrison Butker off the practice squad. You know, it's little moves
signing
like that.
Kareem Hunt off the couch,
Kareem Hunt off the couch, DeAndre Hopkins. You have to be good organizationally. I don't think the organization gets enough credit from the top down that you got to be good in the draft stockpiling talent. And my favorite quote ever was with this team is Brett Veach at the Super Bowl parade after the Eagles after winning Super Bowl 57. He holds up the Lombardi trophy, and he says, this is what a rebuild looks like.
Yeah.
As he's holding up the Lombardi trophy, this is what a rebuild looks like, which is a Super Bowl championship. Because they were rebuilding.
Oh, yeah. No, that definitely was the conversation it felt like last year, where it was supposed to be a retooling year, but they ended up winning the whole thing.
They flipped this roster completely since Mahomes first got here.
Up next, 2 hours down, two to go. Carrington Harrison from The Drive is going to join us, give his pick, as well as talk about maybe the most underrated aspect of this game. More Chiefs extended pregame before Super Bowl 59 continues next on 96.5 The Fan.